Last year, I came along here. I was invited to come along here, and I taught a little bit from the Precious Garland of the Middle Way. So, of course, we didn't go very far into the text. And this year, I wanted to carry on from there. And also, of course, we're not going to be able to get very far in the text. But in any case, I am very pleased to come back to here to teach. And in the beginning, this place was completely empty, and then somehow Venerable Chöden, who obviously had made many prayers and had so much merit from previous lives, having become a nun from an early age, more than 20, almost getting on, must be around 30 years ago by now. 31 years ago. And having spent so much of that time learning hard and practicing hard, and now as a result of her efforts, we have this Shravasti Abbey here. Earlier on, when we were at the days when we were at Nalanda, there was a community of quite a few nuns at Dorje Parmo. Then there was the Nalanda where the monks were living, and it looked like on the face of it would seem that the monks had the sort of stronger position and so on, and were maybe studying harder. But actually, as it turns out, if we look at the monks, then very few, we see very few that have really done well since that time, maybe Dr. Adrian. But then out of the nuns, there seem to have been more that have done well. And amongst those, it seems that the one that did the best of all was Venerable Chöden. And so then now you have a community here of people that have already got some experience in life from with the education when you were younger, and then having sort of lived your life in the world, and you've been able to make decisions about what you want to do with your life. And so now you're here, living in the community, helping vulnerable children in her work and learning and training and studying. And I think this is really a wonderful way to use this precious human life that we have. And I would like to thank you for that. And somehow I think after all this time of getting to know people, having connections, having students and so forth, I think that it really looks like one way or another anyway, the foundation is there. As for where we got in the text was the verse which is talking about the 12 links of dependent arising. That's what, I've been told, and I think that's where we got to. And so what we're looking at in English anyway, it's verse 36, where it says, with these three pathways mutually causing each other. If you look at the verse before that, where it says, as long as the aggregates are conceived, so long therefore does the conception of I exist. This is explaining the point that ignorance is the root of cyclic existence. And there are two forms of ignorance. One is the self-grasping of the person, and one is the self-grasping of phenomena. And the question arises, well, of these two, which one arises first? And here it's saying that the one that arises first is the self-grasping of phenomena, and that's followed by the self-grasping of the person. Because when we see a person, first of all, what appears to us is their aggregates. So then when the aggregates of the person appear, they seem to be self-existent, they seem to exist from their own side, and then we grasp them as being self-existent, just as they appear. So that's the self-grasping of phenomena. Then later on, then based upon that, we get the person, the appearance of the person as self-existent and grasping that as existing as it appears self-existent, and that's the self-grasping of the person. What this verse is telling us also is that as long as one hasn't refuted the conceived object of the self-grasping of the phenomena, then one will still have this conceived object of the self-grasping of the person. That also won't have been refuted or negated. And as long as you have that situation, then following that you're going to have the accumulation of karma, and as a result of that, birth in cyclic existence.
Tile yani kyo yin se ro ta khaje mandil hingi yona ani
While you have the innate self-grasping of the person, or innate eye grasping, then you'll have attachment towards objects which appear to be beautiful from their own side, and one will end up engaging in various actions or creating various different types of karma based upon that attachment. Or sometimes certain objects will appear very unpleasant, and hatred from their own side, and then hatred arises towards those, or anger arises towards those, and we end up accumulating again negative karma, which also causes us to be born again in cyclic existence. And so generally we have those three then, the of the mind, attachment, anger, and closed-mindedness, sort of closed-minded ignorance. We have those three, the three of the mind, three negative actions of the mind. Then based upon them, we have the four of speech and the three of the body. So all in all, due to the those 10 negative karmas, we take birth in cyclic existence. Thus, you, in terms of the 12 links, you have the three afflictions, the three which are afflictions, and then the two which are karma. Then, as a result of that, you have you experience the seven results. And then, while you're experiencing the seven results, remember
no.
Because where it says when the conception of I exists, there is action. When the conception of I exists, there is action. So that's the karma. Then, due to that, there is also birth. So where it says there is also birth, that refers to the remaining seven links. So the consciousness, what is the consciousness? Then name and form, six sources. Is it six sources. Then. Contact and feeling, those five, right? And then also there's a birth and aging and death. So those seven. So those are the seven results. Then while you're experiencing those seven results, your one is creating new sets of 12 links, and then as a result of those 12 links, you get further results, sets of seven results to experience. And this happens in such a way that you can't really point out which is the beginning. If you were to say that the beginning is the causes, you know, the ignorance and so on, well, that's those are created, the first amongst the sets of the 12 links are created during the, while experiencing the results of previous sets of 12 links. So you can't really point out the beginning or end. Just like when you, as it says in verse 36, with these three pathways mutually causing each other without a beginning, a middle, or an end, this wheel of psychic existence turns like the wheel of a firebrand. So you can't say which is the beginning, which is the middle, which is the end. Just like when you're turning a, if you sort of wave a stick of incense, obviously a stick of incense which has been lit, then it describes a circle, and you just see a circle there. You can't really point out which is the beginning of the circle and which is the end of the circle.
So, long time ago, now the Tangudi, that kind memory, Java Seva, they are the memory, the Java, then Google never see the Java, Google never did. Tangudi, Maribodi, then.
With these 12 links, then the first one, which is ignorance, and then the eighth and ninth, which are craving and grasping, these three are afflictions, mental afflictions or klesha. Then the second karma or compositional karma, and the tenth one, which is existence. These are both karma. So those five are the those five, the karma and the afflictions lead to the result of the remaining seven, the result of those five, and those seven are referred to as suffering. So the three which are afflictions and the two which are karma lead to the true suffering, which is the remaining seven. So you have three groups here, right? You've got a group of three afflictions, a group of two karmas, and then a group of seven results or seven sufferings. So from the three afflictions, from the group of three, the three afflictions, you have the group of two, which are the karma. Then as a result of that, you have the seven results. Then as a result of those, while you're experiencing those seven, again you get the three afflictions, leading to the two karmas, and those leading to the seven resultant sufferings. And of course that just keeps repeating itself. And in this way we circle in cyclic existence, just like a firebrand, as it's put here, or like a lit stick of incense. Now this has been explaining to us how it is that we wander in cyclic existence. Now the question arises, how does one leave cyclic existence? So to answer this, we go back to the point that was made previously, which is that as long as the conceived object of the self-grasping of phenomena remains without having been negated, also the conceived object of the transitory view, or the view of the transitory collection, will remain without having been negated.
What are the that the castle was enough. Pumbo did the master bar and give the same money. Give the master bar and it can get a charge of your own to your money. Set on that Pumbo to give you the any yarn charge of any dense silver panga. Dense silver panga and it sells and you deep in your ears. She sells that deep in your ears. This is what Pumbo to give you the yarn charge of it. This is silver panga. She sells them in there.
So this is that is a denzin mapana the cost of the chigi denzin mapana in kanzin denzin mapan di mapana ne the color ma pa yo mas to ba
ta ko di so ma ya ko di so na ta nya ga to be ko ma ba di so ta ne ani chigi denzin da pa sa de denzin so se ba de pin pa ba di ta yi sha ne ya na ya di ding lo le sa ne chung ji se wo chen ja ba di ta ne de chen.
Since this is telling us that if you haven't abandoned the true grasping of phenomena, you're not going to be able to abandon the true grasping of the person, and without abandoning the true grasping of the person, you're not going to be able to abandon psychic existence, and therefore, of course, you're not going to be able to gain liberation. What Nagarjuna is explaining very clearly here, and in fact he makes this point everywhere, it's that you find it all over the place. But specifically what he's explaining very clearly here is that the hearer and solitary realizer, arhats, have completely abandoned all kinds of true grasping, not just the self-grasping of the person, but also self-grasping of phenomena. So they've completely abandoned the true grasping, including true grasping of phenomena. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to achieve liberation. It seems that there were many great scholars who claimed that the hearer and solitary realizer arhats, these Hinayana arhats, right, that they don't realize the emptiness of true existence, and they don't abandon the true grasping phenomenon. They don't abandon true grasping. So now, the omniscient Gyaltsabje, who's the composer of this, the commentary that we're using for going through this text of Nagarjuna, he says that Nagarjuna has made it very clear that the hearer and solitary realizer arhats do in fact abandon the true grasping mind completely. They completely abandon it, and any kind of idea that they don't is something that should be discarded, just like spit in the mouth.
Just have a 말이야 디 코와 디르 네바 키마데 타 코리아 코르투네 타 네바 히부치 제르바타 네바 지니네 칸다 말이야 니테 레도와 타 말이야 티 숨부제 타데 게다 담제 김베오
Also, the omniscient Gyaltsebje points out that that therefore this ignorance, this mind of ignorance, it's this mind of ignorance which keeps us in psychic existence, prevents us from leaving psychic existence. And so he says that we need to be able to understand that just how awful and how kind of like evil or wicked this mind is, how harmful this mind is, this mind of ignorance. So ignorance has the connotation of not knowing or not being aware. So it's a mind which is not aware of or doesn't understand, doesn't really know, doesn't really understand the true nature of all phenomena, the deep nature, the true way of being of all phenomena. And this mind of ignorance is deluded or confused, confused about the actual nature of or the actual way of being a phenomena. And it doesn't just not know about the actual way of the actual way of being a phenomenon, the actual way of existing. It apprehends things or grasps things as existing in the complete opposite way from their true way of being. In what way does this mind of ignorance grasp or apprehend things to be to exist in the complete opposite way from how they really are? So the answer to that is that since it grasps things as existing from their own side, whereas in fact things don't exist from their own side because they're totally dependent upon other factors, it's in this sense that ignorance grasps things as existing in the complete opposite way from how they really are.
Chambada, 매로 소토 말이 가르치는 지난 겨워 말봐 다 지난 지난 겨워지 권전에 놓고 매로 소고 했어라 제가 뒷소문에 가제 제가 다 내밀밤에 시를 쓰는 딱 보던 지난 딱딱 넘겨서 봐 나는 때문에 코요 눈도 내상 들려 내밀밤에 시를 아니 눈도 말이 상지 들려 봐 제가 다 내밀밤에 시를 뒤에 아니 딱 가제 내지 매로 소토야 뒤 가르치는
Now when we talk about true grasping, we have the true grasping of phenomena and true grasping of the person. In each case, they refer to the object, in one case phenomena, in one case the person, and apprehended as existing, as being self-existent, existing from its own side. So now, that's ignorance. I mean, whether we say true grasping or ignorance is the same thing really. Now, so what we need in order to, as an antidote to this ignorance or to this true grasping mind, is a mind which refers to exactly the same object, but apprehends or grasps the object as existing in a way which is completely opposite from the way that ignorance does. So, in other words, what we need is the wisdom realizing emptiness, because the wisdom realizing emptiness, for example, if it's the wisdom realizing the emptiness of the person, it refers to the person, and realizes that, or in other words, grasps the person, apprehends the person as being empty of self-existence, non-self-existent. So in other words, we have this situation where the ignorance and the wisdom realizing emptiness refer to the same object and apprehend that object as existing in a way which is completely opposite one from the other. One's grasping it as self-existent, one is grasping it as non-self-existent, empty of self-existence. So it's because of the fact that these two minds refer to the same object but grasp them in a completely opposite way that the wisdom realizing emptiness acts as the precise antidote to the true grasping mind or to the mind of ignorance. So that even though it is of course very important to meditate on love, compassion and bodhicitta and so forth, these are not the real antidote to the true grasping mind. They're not the real antidote to ignorance, because they don't refer to, of course they have an object that they refer to, but they don't refer to that object and apprehend it as being empty of self-existence. They don't grasp the object as being particularly self-existent or empty of self-existence. So they're not really the appropriate antidote to the self-grasping mind. What one needs is an antidote to that self-grasping mind is one that refers to the same object apprehends that object is existing. Its way of apprehending has to be the complete opposite from the way that the self-grasping mind or ignorance grasps it.
코디 the video 두고다 안 주제선 주제 제제 전에 the 제보기하고 그랬대. 응콜라고.
제가 맞다. 오늘 뒤에 제가 아니 덴지티다 아니 덴미도 왜 싫어 미미고 찍음이 내가 풍부 덴바는 덴지다 풍부 덴미도 왜 싫어 미 그게 미고 찍음이 미고 된다 아니 이제 너무 개리 다음에 덴지티 덴미도 왜 싫어 된 내가 얘가 요 말을 했나 티 기버와 기버와 얘가 요 말을 했다 저기 응구래 빼라 선주지 응구와 군이 또 지금 기버와
Now, we've been saying that you have this the true grasping mind, which refers to its object and thinks that it's truly existent or exists from its own side, and then the wisdom realizing emptiness, otherwise known as the wisdom realizing selflessness, referring to the same object, but apprehending its way of apprehending is the complete opposite from the way that ignorance apprehends the object. So now, we've been saying that it's because of that the wisdom can overcome completely, destroy the ignorance. But the question might well arise in your mind, well, since the ignorance also refers to the same object as true grasping and apprehends it in exactly the opposite way, isn't there a risk that it's going to destroy the wisdom?
Lord Demamari, Yuji Nedu, Tumber, Zubelo, Demamari, Demi Dove, Hiddles, Nedam, Momaji, Yuji Nedu, Tumber, Lo, Pemone, Debatiwa, 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 Debatiwa 참바다 인지 전주 선거 서버 뒤에 간 걸로 아니 대미도 왜 싫어 되냐 잡혀지고 그래 아니 대미도 왜 싫어 되 전주 선다 참바 인지 서버 뒤에 심배 대미도 왜 싫어 되나 다 다시 중대 양 양내로 와 다시 중대 인도산에 아니 백칼 미리도 반드시 이내 바 매로 소투야 답에 기우지 떠오진다 남진 잡이 어디에 숨어 와
The reason why that's not the case is that the true grasping mind or ignorance is a mistaken mind. It's a mistaken way of relating to things or a mistaken way of perceiving things. Whereas this mind of wisdom, realizing emptiness, this is one which this mind is one which sees things as they actually are, and as such, it's a mind which has a lot of support, and it has. A lot of, we can say that it has its sort of like forces behind it, such as the love and compassion and bodhicitta, which when they're combined with the mind of wisdom make it an extremely sort of like a powerful force.
カレーさんこうやってやってもで、コンシーベルジャーマルミでやってんぎやんでやってん。だって、その、カレーさんが来るや。あの、この順番まで、でも、電波で、その、だ来るや。君に、俺も君に、マンのようです。ジャビオ君に、マンのようです。コンシーギャーマルミで、コンシーザメ。あの、コンシーザメ、さんが来るや。ちょっと、順番に、あの、こう、感じ。やめ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ、ちょ
지금 공식 이양라세나데 디 풍능수 대변한데 장민지단 전시점에서
어 양화다 마대로 공부했었다 공기 양화야 군주 내용은 들어왔다 그럼 이사도 양화내유나 답이 준비 잘와
it's said that it's the it's the nature of the mind that when such sort of a true perception of things, an unmistakable perception of things, is practiced without being separated from the branches of or the limbs of meditation, which here refers to the practices of love and compassion and bodhicitta, which, as we said before, when they're combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness, make it something very powerful. So when one practices in that way, then eventually one would come to a clear, in other words, non-conceptual realization of the object emptiness. Now, as far as the 12 links of dependent arising is concerned, if you want to find out more about those, then there are very detailed explanations that can be found in the various Lamrim texts and other texts. There you'll find an explanation of the throwing karmas and the accomplishing karmas and the accomplishing causes and so forth. Now here in this commentary, the omniscient Gelsabje doesn't go into that kind of detail. He basically explains things as I've explained here, so I'm not going to go further into that. Instead we'll carry on with the text, but if you want to know more, it's very useful, and you'll be able to find out more in the Lamrim teachings.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these two verses, 35 and 36, eight lines. And so these explain Kola Chutandi Law. So those two verses explain the way in which we enter into or take birth in psychic existence. Now, when you look at verses 37 and 38, those in the Tibetan also we have eight lines. There are eight lines there, two verses which explain the way in which one stops psychic existence. So, because this will is not obtained from self, other, or from both in the past, the present, or the future, the conception of I is overcome, and thereby action and rebirth. One who sees how cause and effect are produced and destroyed does not regard the world as really existent or really non-existent. So now I'm going to give an explanation of the words of this, these verses. Now what it says in the commentary is that having identified the root of psychic existence, we are to use all roots of virtue as a means to stop that root, that mind.
Mm. ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど、ちょっと見たんですけど、わからないんですけど 어떻게 통담해요? 제가 돈 걸고요. 찌르 찌기 찌르 찌기 돈 걸고요. 빼는 개미도 난다고 했던 뒷배를 시에 기울 가만히 기울이
그거
도둑이 드림이 그거 도둑이 되게 개미 되면 비교요 말해서 제일 빠른 남자 있잖아 니전 히로가 거대로가
라 라 So now, if we look back again to verse 35, as long as the aggregates are conceived, that verse, so this identifies the true grasping of phenomena and the true grasping of the person as the root of psychic existence. The way it does so is by explaining that as long as one hasn't refuted or negated the conceived object of the true grasping of phenomena, then one will remain that the conceived object of the self-grasping of, or true grasping of the person will remain unnegated, unrefuted, or it'll stay there. And so then, as long as you have, that means you'll carry on having the self-grasping of the person. So you've still got the self-grasping of the phenomena, you've still got the self-grasping of the person. As a result of that, one would engage in karma. And then as a result of that karma, one would take birth. In terms of the 12 links, it's explaining that as a result of the three afflictions, you have the two karmas. As a result of the two karmas, you have the seven suffering results. And then while those seven results are being experienced, you have again the occurrence of the three afflictions, based on that, the two karmas, then the seven results. And this keeps going on and on and on. And then the verse 36, with these three pathways mutually causing each other, that verse, that's explaining this in terms of an analogy, the analogy of a firebrand. And the what that's an analogy for is the way in which the afflictions, the karma and the results have no particular beginning, middle, or an end, which you can identify, just like with the wheel that's described by a firebrand when it's been twirled around. And it is indeed the tamadi haron, she doesn't have the tamboti, the markasa, the cause how the Muslim believes. And it did, and it pay tonity.
What no pay tonity?
No.
先生在本来唐古的会所的门神主上呢在确定的你的唐僧的你家会所的话他在你那的他会借有吗对他雄心的那唐会借有的我能会所的借了呀你知道你怎么你一下路都死了吧会所借你一下路都死了吧会所借你一些的门神主要去民众的那边这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用过了吧这个就够用
It's saying here then that the true grasping of the self-grasping of the of phenomena and the self-grasping of the person are the root of cyclic existence. So now, although this commentary doesn't address the issue, some people might ask the question then, does that mean that that there's not one particular root cause of cyclic existence you can point out? It seems that there isn't, because you've said that there are these two different roots of psychic existence, the self-grasping of the person, the self-grasping of phenomena. And the answer to that, again, as I said, although it's not mentioned in this text, in other texts it is dealt with, the answer to that is that these are not two separate roots of psychic existence. If there were two separate roots of psychic existence, we would have to say that these two have different ways of apprehending their object. Whereas in fact, the self-grasping of the person and self-grasping of phenomena only differ in terms of what their referent object is. They don't differ at all in terms of the way of apprehending the object.
What do you say?
Verse 37, because this will is not obtained from self, other, or from both in the past, the present, or the future, the conception of I is overcome, and thereby action and rebirth. This shows how stops psychic existence.
Yes. No,
Now, we're going to go through the words of this, and actually, because the English doesn't precisely match with the Tibetan, in the Tibetan it just says that. There's not even a that here, is there? Look at that first line. It's been translated as a this, and then they've added on the wheel just to show you what the this is referring to. So in Tibetan, the word te, that, and that word refers to the dependent arising. Dendil de chagra te. La. Kind na the injidin ala the kolo te sigdo.
Oh, this one,
yeah, so it's not this wheel. It's very clear in the commentary. It says tendel dini, so that dependent arising. And so this is comes down to the fact that the reason that the prime reason that's being used to show that things are not don't exist in the way that the ignorant the mind of ignorance thinks they exist is the dependent arising.
We
know that the this or that in the text refers to dependent arising. So then it says is not obtained from self, other, or from both. What this means is not produced from self, isn't produced from other, isn't produced from both, and although it's not actually mentioned in the root text, of course, if it's not produced from any of those three, then all the, it's even less likely going to be produced from without causes. Then it's also not, it simply says the three times in the Tibetan text anyway, so it's spelt out here, it's not produced in the past, nor produced in the present, nor produced in the future. So then it says because, right? And of course in Tibetan it's right at the end of the second line. So anyway, that because, where it says because, what it means is having understood that is not produced from self, other, both, or without causes, neither in the past, nor in the present, nor in the future, one is, so having understood that, having realized that, one will cause the conception of an I, the grasping at an I, that will be extinguished. So it's here, it's, that word that's been translated as overcome, that means extinguished. Well, if you realize that that things are not produced from self, others, in other words, there's no inherent or self-existent production, neither from self, others, and so on. If you understand that and continually meditate on it, then the eye-grasping mind will be extinguished, extinguished, used up, sort of finished. Then for the fourth line, then living gyawayan, and thereby action and rebirth. So action is just another way word for karma, right? So once the eye grasping is finished, then of course there's not going to be you're not going to create karma. You're not going to create the karma to be born in psychic existence again. And so correspondingly. Or consequently, you're not going to be born in psychic existence, because birth in psychic existence is due to karma and the afflictions. So since you've already used up karma and the afflictions, then you're not going to be born in psychic existence either. No, maybe we can repeat that for you. What this has been saying is that if you understand that nothing is inherently existent, through the understanding that there is nothing which is produced from self, other, from both self and other, and also nothing is produced inherently without causes, neither in the past, nor in the present, nor in the future. So when you understand that, and you continually meditate on it, eventually you're going to finish off the eye-grasping mind, which is ignorance, right? So, as a result of that, you'll also finish off the karma, because usually we create karma due to ignorance. So you finish with the karma, ignorance, therefore you finish with the karma, therefore you're not going to have to take birth in cyclic existence as a result of karma and the ignorance or karma and the afflictions.
Tak kahre kahre chen tong le, sebab ni tong ni kong tu cuba. Tong ni di tong tong le, ani tong ni di tong tong le, ani di saya le cuba. Jika la yang dah cuba ni tu, jika la yang dah cuba ni tu, yoba dah sebab yāna dhūpa nīdhū yuwa dhāna sīrvā āni kāsā yuwa nīdhū mīdhū sōs āni tā kāntē dhūpa nīdhū dhūndi āni kōndu chūne āni dhēmbā yuwa dhāna tāngi dhū mēwa āni tīdhē sāngu mārī sīrvā dhāsā dhā chētā lē pūgurī yuwa nīdhū mīdhū sōs yuwa dhāna āni dhīndhū dhū yuwa dhāna āni tāngi dhū mēwa dhā sāngu mārī dhā sāngu mārī dhūpa nīdhū dhūndi kōndu chūne
Then let's see. Now, where it says one who sees how cause and effect are produced and destroyed, then it gute kevatan the gute se ati te kote kore 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 gutan ante
kore gute kevati. Deta.
No. Yes, so right. So that's actually a little bit different. So what this is saying, I'm trying not to look at the English. Where it says the cause and effect and production, right? Can you see that in the English? Let's see. One sees how cause and effect are produced. Okay, so don't think produce, think birth, because we're talking about the when it says cause and the cause and effect of birth. So in other words, you've got the causes, which are the three afflictions and the two karmas resulting in birth, right? So that whole thing. So now, having realized the emptiness of self-existence, that will be extinguished. That will be extinguished. And so, where it says, what was it, destroyed? You know, that's the extinguished. So, in such once you've reached that point, then you would no longer regard the world as truly existent, really existent, or truly existent, or conventionally non-existent. So you wouldn't regard the world in either of those extremes, or according to either of those extremes. Where it says as really existent or really non-existent, literally it just says existent or non-existent, right? So now the existent means truly existent, and the non-existent means conventionally non-existent. So these are the two extremes. So you wouldn't be prone to these two extremes once you realize that there is nothing which is self-existent, and the way that you realized would have realized the emptiness of self-existence, if you follow the explanation in these verses, is by realizing that nothing is produced from the four extremes. Remember, the four extremes being production from self, other, both, or without causes. You may have heard that it said that that empty, dependent, because the tomba tenjung ane umelam, empty dependent and the middle way are synonymous.
Tendency
In actual fact, the connotation of empty is dependent or dependent arising. That's the connotation of being empty. And so, likewise, the connotation of empty is the middle way, because the middle way means free from the two extremes. The two extremes being the extreme of existence, in other words, true existence, things being truly existent, and the nihilist extreme, or the extreme of non-existence, in other words, the extreme of things not even existing conventionally. So emptiness implies that, or the word empty does it implies that, or that's the connotation. That's what we have to understand from the fact of things being empty. So having realized that things are empty, you realize that they're free of the two extremes, that they're the middle way, free of the two extremes. So you wouldn't grasp things as existing in either of those two extremes. It's been explaining here how it is that we enter into cyclic existence due to ignorance, and then how to stop birth in psychic existence through the wisdom that overcomes, or actually is the antidote to that ignorance. And Gyaltsabje makes the point, or suggests to us, that if we want to understand this more clearly, then we need to look at Jirimshi's commentary, or his great commentary on the Madhyamakavatara. We could go into this in in great detail, it's true, but it's important to know the basic point that this is getting at, which is that it's as a result of ignorance that we are born in psychic existence, and then by stopping ignorance one can leave psychic existence. So this mind of ignorance is one which grasps things as existing from their own side, as being self-existent or inherently existent. So by understanding dependent arising, as it said at the beginning of verse 37, that because that dependent arising is not obtained from self, other, and so on. So understanding that, through the understanding of dependent arising, and understanding that that there is nothing which is produced in the four extremes, one can understand things are empty of self-existence, and then meditating. So meditating on that means that meditating on things being free of the two extremes, the extreme of true existence, and also not even existing conventionally.
Tanda 먼저 온부도 이제가로 통제선을 봐. 겨우 온부도 아니 게만 배 겨우 온부도 인생을이야 아니 아 간제 오메 따와 다나세 아니 정모 정모 오메 따와 다나는가 냠네 니오데 인페 세우지 예배 간 세우지 주인 그리스도 소도 이제 나로 실때네 아니 간제 겨우 온부도 이제가리야 아니 뭐로 겨우 배투도 또 겸주 휴 뭐로 겨우 아니 겨우 온부도 이제 반제 딱 간제 계시 부르나 근데 송 오셔서 소식이 소 진대 남들한테 어 진대 지요라 근데 지요라 먼저 온부도 이제가로 담제했으나 인도 제목이었대. 아니 다 조지 겨서 이제 뭐 간걸로 아니 다 계속 인도 제목을 이렇게 남편 모습에 인도 제목을 다 인만 와도 두 아니 두두 냐마 지리지니까 삼 오메 따와서 아니 마음이 아니 마음 남도 숨도 되니까 삐 인사야 비키우지를 했다. 어 디제 제어와 제가 아 디제 제어입니다. 다 주고 뭐 디제스터로 나 힘 다 제가 인체 보고라고 다 제가 제나다 다 가제 잡배야리 내려가서 잡배야리 이네 다 겨우 탐하고 가라 미 탐하고 다가 안도 보고 탐하고 주 중재가 도스케 아니 당골 놈이에 나 놈이에 나 놈이에 수지만이 아니 놈이에 나 주사네 주로 릭수만 좀 제가 在叫各局你们刚都开了都在这他有张空有开了刚的电视啊你我不用休息嘛都是啊你就我的到他们的就我被控制上的这个人家没人他的人家我们到的别人到学习人到我的工具的钱他的和他的钱学习人到我的你看见他们的民族送这学习人到了 아니 이내 주고 가래 가래 하는 것은 세대 연구를 했지 않냐 배양 들여서 아니 교실을 하다고 했는데 어디 시부지 때에 딱 너무 좀 시부지나 아니 주고 딱 간제 너무 좀 시부지나 한다 아니면 딱 이게 된다야
The main thing anyway is to understand emptiness. This and this is something extremely important. So we can understand this from the life story of Jiye Rinpoche, of whom it said that previously, he made prayers in the presence of the conqueror Wombudokra, Gyawa Wombudok, the conqueror, the Buddha, the Wombudok, to be able to teach the middle way in combination with the teachings of Tantra, to teach those very clearly and to teach those together. And he received the permission from that enlightened being and was given advice on what to do. And then according to his prayers, although in actual fact, of course, he was already, he was Manjushri. I mean, Jiye Rinpoche is Manjushri, so of course he's already a fully enlightened being, but came in the aspect of an ordinary Amdo boy born in Tibet. And then studied, learnt very, very widely from all of the great masters of the three traditions of Tibetan Buddhism at the time, from the great Nyingma masters, the Sakya masters, and the Gyalpo masters. And then he was able to receive advice. He showed the aspect of being able to receive advice from Manjushri himself, who told him that he should go to Jiye Rendawa for the teachings on the middle way, because at that time the greatest master and the greatest expert on the middle way was Jiye Rendawa.
Okay,
He studied so much with Zhendawa, and then at a monastery called Ngabring, something like that. He sat his Geshe examinations, and then in connection with this Kinsenryu is explaining about the view of nothing at all. There's certain people that talk about meditating on the existence of nothing at all. So now, it is a fact that, of course, when you analyze phenomena, then if you look for the imputed object, you won't be able to find anything at all. That's true, isn't it? So this is the view of taking nothing at all to mind. This is what this view is called, the view of taking nothing, or the view which takes nothing at all to mind. Now, at that time, it seems like the practically all of the great masters, the experts in the middle way, considered this view, the view which takes nothing at all to mind, is the peak view, the highest view. And Jerimshe himself, at one point even, was meditating on this view. And there's the story of one time when he was in an assembly, and they were reciting the Heart Sutra, and when it got to the point where it says form is empty, emptiness is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is not other than emptiness, at this point he entered into equipoise on this view. So then the prayers and so on continued, and they had they did the clapping, and then the tea was brought in, and eventually everybody had left, but Jerimshe was not able to rise. He remained in his meditation, which just goes to show how stable his meditation was at that point. And then eventually some of the other the sangha there came along and brought him to his room.
Any lama chadao ora chadao wa seya di o lama di gu di lamdi su gu yu sari di lamdi di chi sanye chene eni di shu du sanye ani di jaga chene sanye ta nga san jaga chene mando kyun diyan du sunye teri shu du sanye ani teri shu nga jaga lu yin di sunye cha sunye jaga lu mi su sanye ani wala nangay chene ta khanche chano do jiri ya shu di
Subsequent to this, Jerumshe went to see a lama called Lama Humapa, who was able to ask questions directly to Manjushri. Lama Tsongkhapa wasn't able to do that at that time, so Jerumshe had to ask questions through him as like an interpreter. So he asked Lama Humapa to ask Manjushri whether his view was the Prasangika view or the Swatantrika view, and the reply came back that it was neither of these. So then he decided that he absolutely had to find the right view, and the way he was going to do that was to go to India, where there were a couple of great pandits or great scholars that he'd heard of. One of whom was a direct disciple of Atisha or something. I don't know, that would have been. Atisha Gita Nolopta is Maravata to look at a Mambuki. Yeah, it can't have been the an actual direct disciple of Atisha, but somebody who was sort of like had the teachings in a direct descent from Atisha. So he made up his mind to do that, and on his way there he stopped off at a place called Hlodra, where there was a great lama, Namkha Gyaltsen, who was able to, who's known as like something like the Vajrapani Lama, something like that, because basically because he was able to converse with Vajrapani. So at that time, Namkha Gyaltsen was teaching Lam Rim, so Jerumshe was attending those teachings, and he told him that he told Namkha Gyaltsen, I have to go to India. I'm definitely going to go to India. I really need to have these Lam Rim teachings. So this Namkha Gyaltsen talked with Vajrapani about this, and he told him that there was nothing that he could do to stop Jerumshe. So this Namkha Gyaltsen said to Vajrapani, right, there's nothing I can do to stop Jerumshe. He's made up his mind. He's set on going. And Vajrapani replied that if he were to do that, then Jeremishe would become the abbot of the monastery in Bodh Gaya. And when we talk about the monastery in Bodh Gaya, don't think about the small monastery that there is these days. In those days, there was a huge monastery. So he would become the abbot in that monastery, and he would do incredible things for the sentient beings by going there. But it would leave, figuratively speaking, it would leave Tibet in the dark. It would be like a dark place without Lama Tsongkhapa there. So Vajrapani said to Nanka Gyaltsen, you tell Lama Tsongkhapa, you tell Jeremishe from me that he doesn't need to worry too much about the view. He doesn't need to go to India. What he needs to do is some purification and some he needs to accumulate some merit, and then he'll be able to generate the correct view quite quickly and quite easily. So as a result of that, Jeremishe let go of his plans of going to India and instead went to Wokha, where he went into retreat. And as you may have heard, he did a huge number of prostrations to the 35 Buddhas of confession, and he also made a huge number of mandala offerings. When he wanted to go into retreat, he asked Manjushri about how many people to take with him, whether he should take all of his students with him or what he should do. And the advice that he was given was to take a specific group of eight of his disciples, the so-called, you know, the pure, the group of eight pure disciples. So they went into retreat, and while they were in retreat, for the most part, they were only eating like an amount of food like the size of a juniper berry each day. And then sometimes, because there were benefactors that really wanted to make offerings, they accepted to eat a little bit of tsampa, or parched barley flour. So the cave, or the caves where they did their practice, is something that you can go along and see even now. I've never been there myself, but perhaps some of you have been there. What did you say? Kinsram Shah himself has never been there.
Sus 산게 제가 야타나 아 대화진이 이나 대화진이 유에 딱 빼주다니 대화진 그지이나 대화진이 유에 자주서로 들으네 산게 외바 밀리아 아니 거기 빼 사유도 사 유에 꾸두 꾸두 럭 꾸두 꾸두 디그 꾸두 디 아니 기타 먹고 싶이 지금도 들어와 아니 근데서 디 가리 때에 수류사네 아니 어 미지 지대기 칸나 아니 관계 상계 들었습니다. 아니 저기 파운드 친구 송별 마대비 송제보다 비리 송도와 근데 송도 전에 상계 수수수 신경나 이외에 상계 소지 여러다 이제 정말 이날에 자리에 이날에 수수수 신경들이 여러 농가들이 어떻게 이외에다 관계 수수수 코르 전주선거 저주 야교 교주선에 뭐 두시야 두수 상계 수수수 아니 저 송도 전에다
他们满足呀，俺们当然了，是吧？兄弟，你去我找你，我下去凑个钱，俺们不要搞，啊，某某家呀，啥，俺们弟弟那边也帮俺们的，爹呀，啥，俺们家里呀，我们家里吃了饭呀，啥，我上你去过个，今天你去做满足，容易也是要求的啥嘞？三姐叔叔说，俺们看见妈妈在这里，俺们家里不陪恁几个人，咱我出去，我今天去，俺们把这个。 사람이다사람이나대사제는이제이해가됐다시우지가시우지가네뉴베게가누가자당당도도간제산계의현바소주자리들이자기공부장들이제요말이자당추주진대대인제딱이개시부시리인자아니내유다간제개시부대딱시교사디에내시부등대를대부여로와주내시부등대를
개체부들에서내가체부유내가유기들이제부거로와
The subject of emptiness is of such great importance that when the Buddha taught about it, in other words, when he gave teachings on the perfection of wisdom, he manifested certain magical sort of displays which he didn't in the case of other teachings that he gave. So, because of the fact that he considered it, he himself considered it to be so important. So, when it's explained in the middle mother, they refer to the, we have this the so-called three mother perfection of wisdom sutras, the long one, middling one, and the brief one. So, out of those three, the one which is referred to the middle one, and that has also got many different. Sort of parts to it, sort of sections to it, and I'm pretty sure it's the 25th one. So in there it talks about how the Buddha, when prior to teaching the perfection of wisdom, set up his own throne instead of letting anybody else do it, because he considered it such an important teaching. He set up his own seat to give the teaching from, and then he spread out his tongue so that it completely filled the three worlds, and from his tongue rainbow lights were radiated out, and so this filled up the whole world, and reached all of the different pure lands, where the different each enlightened being has their own pure land. So this light filled all of those pure lands, and so the various bodhisattvas in each of those pure lands asked the main Buddha of that pure land, that pure place. Like, for example, if it was Sukhavati, then the bodhisattvas would have been asking Amitabha, and likewise you have Chenrezig's pure land, Tara's pure land, and so on. So many different pure lands they asked there. Now the head Buddha there, the head enlightened being there, main enlightened being there, what this was a sign of, and so the reply was that this is a sign that in the unforgetting universe, or the unforgetting world, which is the name of our world, the Buddha Shakyamuni is just about to give a teaching on the perfection of wisdom. So when they became aware of that, when they were told that, then the bodhisattvas asked their central Buddha for permission to go along and to make prostrations to Shakyamuni Buddha, to make offerings to him, and listen to his teaching on the perfection of wisdom. So they were given permission, and in this way there was a vast audience listening to the teaching on the perfection of wisdom when the Buddha Shakyamuni gave it. And not just these bodhisattvas, but also a whole host of humans, non-humans, and so forth, as it mentions in the Heart Sutra, the humans, non-humans, Gandhavas, and so on. It mentions, right? So this huge, and this also reflects just how important that teaching was. No. Then also in the perfection of wisdom, in fact in the three of the perfection of wisdom sutras, the 100,000 verse, 20,000 verse, and 8,000 verse versions of the perfection of wisdom, we find one chapter which is whose title is the final complete conferment. And so in this chapter it describes how the Buddha passed on the responsibility for the perfection of wisdom teaching to Ananda, to his disciple Ananda, and the way he did this was by telling him that Ananda had heard so many teachings from the Buddha, a huge number of teachings, and yet if Ananda were to forget all of those, Buddha himself wouldn't consider this to be a great fault. It wouldn't really matter too much. But if he were to forget even a single word of the perfection of wisdom sutra teachings, then he would consider this to be a great fault, a very grave error on Ananda's part. And as a result of that, then they could no longer be considered teacher and disciple, even the sort of the samaya or the connection between them would be completely lost. So he mentioned this on three occasions just prior to his the passing away. And the Kashyapa also reminded Ananda of this, of how the Buddha had so strongly admonished him to remember absolutely every single word of the perfection of wisdom teachings. And then, and the reason that it's so important is because of all of the teachings, the sutra and tantra teachings that we have, which are so important for gaining enlightenment, the essence of all of them is the teaching on emptiness. And the reason why emptiness was considered so important, so much more important than anything else, is derived from the fact that we, all of us, we sentient beings, there is something which none of us likes, which is suffering. Whether we talk about the suffering in the three lower realms, or whether we talk about the suffering that sentient beings experience in cyclic existence in general, that suffering is something that the sentient beings don't like, and the way to eliminate that suffering is by realizing emptiness. And so if this teaching on emptiness were to degenerate, then there would be no method left for eliminating the suffering of sentient beings. So this is something that we can see very clearly, isn't it? And the importance of that. Because we know that the root of all suffering, the root cause of all suffering is the true grasping, ignorant mind. And the way to get rid of that, and therefore the way to get rid of suffering, is by realizing emptiness. And just meditating on love, compassion, bodhicitta, and so forth, isn't enough to get rid of that, to get rid of that ignorance. This is very clear to us, isn't it, I think? So we have these other practices and meditations on love, compassion, bodhicitta, and so forth, but if we ask which is the most important to the sentient beings for eliminating their suffering, then the answer is the realization of emptiness. So then going back to what we were saying before, how we were describing the way that Jey Rinpoche previously had made this prayer in the presence of the conqueror, what was it, Wombodok, to be able to cause the teaching of the middle way and of Tantra to flourish, and as a result of his prayer, then everybody present praised him for his braveness, and particularly in taking upon himself to promote those teachings in such circumstances. So and again, it comes down to the importance of emptiness. In actual fact, at the time of Jerimbuche, the time that Jerimbuche was in Tibet, there were some really great masters, greatly accomplished beings in the various traditions of Buddhism there at that time. But it would be very difficult to find somebody who really understood the view. And not just like the view in general, but the view free of the extremes of permanence and nihilism.
Ani tuju kanje sa jida mera sanje sun sha tu tu kanje lo yore do jeli tu sun so lo yore tin de wa tu tu kanje lo yore lo lo tu ji sun sha de sa wa xie wo ma ji zuo tu lo so lo kanje lo yore yore ti yin de ji na lo ta kanje.
Now, at that time, there were all of the scriptures were there. There were the extensive middling and a brief or shorter the. A profession of wisdom sutras, they were there at the time, and also all of the teachings of Nagarjuna, the six treatises on wisdom, they were all there, but it would be difficult to really point out somebody at that time who had truly fathomed the view free of the two extremes. And in fact, to understand that view, to really understand emptiness is something quite rare and quite difficult when you think about it. Consider how the Dinaga, Dhammakirti, these are great, really great beings. Also Vasubandhu. They were really great beings, but they showed the aspect, at least, of not having truly understood the view, the Prasangika view. And also, if we think of Shantarakshita and Kamalashli and so forth, these also, that they showed the...
No.
Shantarakshita and anyway, there are these great masters who are associated with the Swatantrika view, so we can say of them that they certainly showed the aspect at least of only having found the Swatantrika view, not the Prasangika view. And I sort of slipped the Kamalasala in there, just sort of like came out, and Kinsman was saying he's not sure that he would be an example of somebody who showed the aspect of not having found the view. But no. But anyway, there were these very great masters who, despite being so great, still, at least in terms of the aspect they were showing, hadn't understood the Prasangika view. And even Jay Rinpoche showed the aspect, at least, of only finding the right view, the pure view, with great difficulties, through asking questions, discussing with the Manjushri. So basically, either whether directly or indirectly or whatever, he came to his understanding of the view through the teachings of or in the, you know, the explanations of Manjushri. It is said that the sort of the condition which sort of acted as like a catalyst for him to finally get the viewers reading the text of Buddha Palata. This is probably something that he had already read before, but gone through all of this process that we mentioned of purifying and accumulating merit, he read that text, and through that he showed the aspect of finally realizing the view. And so then, having realized the view, he composed these various texts explaining about emptiness, such as the one on the definitive and the provisional sutras, meaning sutras, and the great commentary on the Madhyamakavatara and so forth. And so various scholars, when they saw his writing, sometimes they would be jealous, sometimes they would get angry and so on. And there was one Taksan Losawa, one scholar called translator called Taksan Losawa. So when he first saw the writings of Jay Rinpoche, he criticized him quite heavily, and pointed out a whole list of inconsistencies, at least as he saw it, and contradictions in Jay Rinpoche's teachings. But then later on, when he really read through them thoroughly, more thoroughly, he came to realize the high quality of Jerembshe's work and praised him very highly in terms of his understanding and his composition. So as he said, there are so many that write with so much, in terms of the words, so much added on, so much so many superimpositions, and then in terms of the meaning, so many superimpositions. It's so it's practically impossible to find somebody that hasn't done that, and yet your writing and your understanding is completely without superimposition and so precise. And he praised him in terms of his listening, reflecting and meditating, in terms of his composing, composing, debating and explaining, writing and debating, and also in terms of his formulation of the teachings in terms of view, conduct and meditation. So there's also Kyeban Sangsum, the what's the word for this? Kyeba is like expertise, or then Sumba is like, what do you say for Sumba? Noble.
Noble or venerated.
Venerability. Sung some, and then the sung would be more like the noble, I think. So noble, venerable, and sort of like wisdom. So there are those nine qualities. Those three plus the three of Jesus Hong Sum, Dao Jesus, Jesus. So those three, wherever they were. Plus the view, meditation, and conduct, and then the other three were the composing, teaching, and debating. So those nine. So I've more or less finished what I wanted to say. So we'll stop there.
Can I ask a question? On verse 37, the first line. When it says, because this, and this was referring to dependent arising.
This is a that, yeah.
Yeah, or that.
Yeah.
does dependent arising there mean one set of 12 links, or does it just mean the whole idea?
In general, yeah.
What is
dependent arising? Tennis the songs ma ta je dan de ding azu de yan la chuni gi de tennis de dis koyona chidan chine tennis ngin de te ko de
xin me be kun zen den di te sam da
no, in this context you should think of it as being the dependent arising that we normally use as a reason for establishing that things are empty of self existence.
So then that dependent arising itself is not arise from self, other
than the Quran. Chidang de dene Quran ani de kaza de rangli main shinle min
yele shinle yiga da gumi shigale kyo mari sti menza ani ran hingi kyo mari serwa ani kanje tsum ro
ta. Yes, so dependent arisings are not produced from self, other, both or without causes, therefore they're not inherently produced, therefore they're not inherently existent.
Okay, so dependent arisings,
yeah,
not the concept of dependent arising.
Chizan de chizan mambo yora tu ju ganga de de
kogi de chizan ngandu tembar me di ten di image din din ru mai ba kenzen ko ya ten de sia chorwa chizan di chizan ten de sia ron ru mai ba kenzen ko ya ti tu tu chen chu mo de si chi chi ja ra te ma re wa chi tam ba ya ma re chizan
It's dependent arising more in a general sense, just like we would, so without particularly connecting it to a specific case of something which is a dependent arising,
mm-hmm.
Right? Just like when we say, you know, everything is empty because of being a dependent arising, so just sort of like in that general sense.
Mm.
Yeah? Anyway, we'll be talking later on about how dependent arising, empty, and the middle way are synonyms. The main thing is understanding how things are empty and how things are dependent. And although, of course, we can go into these things, very extensively, we do need to be able to sort of bring it down to something, manageable. I mean, if you can go into things very extensively, then that's really great. But to have this sort of like basic, clear understanding of what it means to be dependent and what it means to be empty is the main thing, really. For understanding these two ideas, empty and dependent arising, there are of course many, many different approaches, and if you want to, you can look very widely in the various scriptures, and there are also so many possibilities. But another approach is simply to have some simple way of understanding, because you don't absolutely have to understand all of the different approaches. If you have something that suits you, then that's good enough.